We're neither mentioned in the Chaburus nor are in the Nosa Kalim of the Shulchan Aruch, just to enhance the Limud. So the extra material to give Mar Makomos a further study is not officially on the test. So just to be aware in terms of what to focus on. And quote the Chuvot of Moshe Feinstein and the others. We're going to quote today a lot of Piskei Chuvos. So that's just to enhance the Chazara, but the test is limited to the Shulchan Aruch Shachtat Piskei Tshuva together with the contents of the Chabura. Okay.
Are you referring specifically to the extended Piskei Tshuva that you went through at the last Chabura a week ago?
Concerning Rabbeinu Tam and the Gro?
Yeah.
Amongst okay. Other issues, yes. I mentioned it got very important to cover, but you're right. Okay. There were two remaining topics in Siman Reish Samach Daled that I realized that I did not focus on enough or omitted. And then we'll move on to Reish Samach Hei and Reish Samach Vav. The first issue is an extension of our discussion of the Mila of Maris Ayin that was discussed in Siv Vav. The Shulchan Aruch, again, to review, writes that Mila, which is simply speaking, the cutting off the Or HaOrla, although we discussed this, Machlok Saposkin, what happens with the Evid if you only remove it, not cut it. But the thick skin, Lisa Chachila, many hold even with the Evid, has to be cut to totally reveal the Atara, or at least Rov Atara, however you define that. And the Or HaPriya, the thin skin underneath, has to either be cut or pushed back and removed from the top of the Atara. It doesn't actually have to be cut off. That's the language of the Shulchan Aruch. We spent a lot of time discussing the other shittas, but the simple language of Shulchan Aruch, the Or HaMila has to be cut, and the Or HaPriya just has to be pushed back. In Siv Vav, the Shulchan Aruch writes, what happens if the skin is thickish, the baby is a little chubby or something, or the skin there is somewhat bunched together of sorts, I don't exactly know how to describe the anatomy, but it covers up the Atara. So putting together the Mechaber and the Ramah together, what emerges is the following, that if the Atara is revealed, even partially, the Shas Kishui, so then there's no need to cut off any skin, but preferably, whatever is covering any part of the Atara should be pushed back. If it's impossible to push it back, so there's no need to do any tikkun, you don't have to cut anything. If, on the other hand, when the kid is, when the Aver is the Kishui, the Atara is totally covered, so then there's a need to actually do another Mila Midrabanan. I think Rabbi Akiva Eger points out elsewhere that you don't make a bracha on it, it's only Maris Ayin and Reish Samachei, but you would have to actually cut skin. Now this kula that we mentioned, that when the Aver is Bekishui, as long as part of the Atara is revealed, so then there's no need to cut again because of Maris Ayin. You only have to push it back if that's possible. So that comes from a Truma Sedeshin. And the Truma Sedeshin's logic is that since we're only dealing with a Mila Midrabanan of a Maris Ayin, so it stands to reason that as long as the child is near a Mixus Moholder, that's enough. But that criterion, that as long as part of the Atara is uncovered, there's no need to do a second Mila, is only relevant to the second Mila. That's because of Maris Ayin. But for the first Mila, so the Atara has to be either totally or at least rove revealed. It's certainly not sufficient for just part of the Atara to be revealed. Whether that partial revelation is Bishas to Aver's mace or it's Bishas Kishui, either way, if the Atara is only partially revealed, we define the Atara as either the whole top or the ring around the point where it joins the Gid, and that we pass from the Chumra both ways, that the majority of both of those areas have to be uncovered. There shouldn't be any strips that are covering a majority of the top, and shouldn't be any strip that's covering the majority of the ring. So if that's not covered as a result of the first Mila, then the child is considered as Oriel, so there's certainly a need to cut off additional skin. This whole kula is only Misham Arasayin if we're dealing with skin that grew back or fell back. Okay, so it's important nakuda to make. And it's for this reason that the Taz writes, because of this complication, that it was Nahug in his communities, apparently not so much in my circles that I'm in, that all the Molim would get together, Kol Umun Sani Lebar Nusay, all the molim would get together at a mila, and they would make sure that it was done right one time. They would all be present to make sure that the mila was done right the first time. They see the atara revealed, and anything that happens later is maximum going to be a rabbinic issue, so we could apply this sif of. And that's why apparently it's a custom. I didn't really see it in the Sefer Bris. I didn't look that hard for this. But at the meal of one of my children, so one of the attendees said, Nisgalsa Atara. So apparently some people have that practice, that in order to, I guess, partially fulfill this Taz, or maybe the parallel to the Taz, that at the time of the meal, a mental note is made that the Atara was totally revealed, at least at the time of the Mila. So whatever happens later will only be a rabbinic issue of Marasayan, which would have nafkaminis in terms of what has to be done. Which gets to the next issue. Nisgalta Atara. So he pointed out that Rov of the Atara has to be Nisgala minimally, and the Ramah writes that Lechatchila we try to cut off the other skin as well, even after the Mila is over. The Rambam disagrees with that, but the Ramah writes that you always cut off even the tzitz and she'enim achmin, as long as it's not Shabbos. So the question is as follows.
Wait, and the tzitz and she'enim achmin, if you're in the middle of them, you could do it even on Shabbos.
That's right. Right. So that's
you pull away.
That's right. Right. That's considered Reish Nachwa. Right.
But you're increasing the muscles to the Chagin Ramah, whether or not during the week.
During the week, right. If you were Poresh, do you still go back for the tzitz and she'enim achmin? So here's the question. I'm not a moral, so I don't know how often this comes up. From the little that I see from children's anatomy, so it seems like it can't be too uncommon. The shaila is as follows. A lot of times when, as the Sefer Bris testifies, that the child gets all tensed in times of the Mila, so the Aver is the Kishuri, the time of the Mila. So in terms of how much skin the Mola is going to cut off, if his goal is to cut off his skin to the Megalati Atara, so if he's just going to be a minimalist, then he'll cut off enough skin to be Megala the Atara Bishas Kishui, because that's what it is now. Now, due to the anatomy, the fact that the Aver becomes more stressed, etc., so less skin is necessary to be cut off in order to be Megala the Atara Bishas Kishui than to be Megala the Atara Bishas Aver Mace. Whatever it is, not too much, the whole Aver is not so big for a baby, but less skin needs to be cut off to be Megala the Atara Vishas Kishui than to be Megala the Atara Vishas Aver Meis. So you could have a situation where the Moel does a Mila and it's totally Megala the Atara, but only when the Aver is Bekishui. When the Aver then is Aver Meis, so then flaps of skin will cover parts of the Atara and maybe even robe of the Atara. Certainly if you take the Machmir approach of the Atara, meaning the ring, so then that could happen. So the question is that a kosher mila at all? Or is it only a rabbinic stringency that we should, like we said before, that you measure b'shas kishui, that you should try to push back the skin? So the Shach quotes what he assumes is a Yerushalmi Mifureshes, and in the Nekudas HaKesef he quotes that the Pirush HaMishnayot L'Rambam also says that way, that this halacha of measuring whether or not the child is a mohul or an orel, b'shas kishui, is not only relevant to the second mila, quote unquote, the Marasayan mila, but also to the first mila. That means as long as enough skin was cut in order to reveal the atara b'shas kishui, then the child is a mohul, not an orel. So any subsequent discussions will only be on the level of derabanan, whether it needs a Marasayan pushback or not. However, the Pitzchei Tshuva quotes in the Chasam Sofer, and the Shach himself quotes a Chacham HaSfardi, who argued with him in the Beis Yosef, but he wants to overrule the Chacham HaSfardi. So this Chacham HaSfardi was resurrected by many of the later poskim. The Chasam Sofer wants to assume that the Bavli only mentioned Bishas Kishui Legabe the Marasayan Mila, not Legabe Mila itself. Legabe Mila itself, you have to be Megala the Atara, you have to cut off more skin, even Bishas Aver Meis. And the Chasam Sofer holds that way in the Mishnah Berurah and Simen Shin Lamed Aleph, which is primarily about Mila B'Shabbos. So it comes up there in the context of what kind of Mila is Docha Shabbos. So the Mishnah Berurah and the Shaar HaTzion, O Zion, following up the Mishnah Berurah Sivkat and Tesvav, quotes from the Beis Meir and the Chasam Sofer we mentioned earlier, and the Mashmoah to the Orz Ruah, like the Chacham HaSfardi. There's a lineup of Gedolei Achronim who want to pass him like Chacham Asfari, which would mean that the mole has to cut off a little more skin, which would make the blue dot special of Rav Korstown, keep forgetting his name, of Kazenstein, all the more crucial. So I'm not sure how much of an issue this is, but because we're dealing with a few millimeters, I heard from Rav Zimmerman, who's a noted mole, that Moilim who know their stuff usually try to cut off a little more just to make, as they say, a clearing of the Atara, so it should be neat. They also want a neat job, not just for Hida Mitzvah, because they want to keep up the reputation, I guess, also whatever, they want to do a good job in Chav the Mitzvah, so they usually cut off a little more. But if you're going to do a minimal Mila, and certainly if you can do it freestyle without even a Mugging, whatever, so you got to really know what you're doing to make sure to cut off more skin, even Megala, even Be'aver Mace, because according to many poskim, the child will remain an Orel if the only skin that you cut off is only enough to reveal the skin, B'shas Kishul. It's a little bit of a confusing topic, but take a look at the Shach and the Pesach Shuv. If you haven't already done so, you'll see it all spelled out there. And the biological key here is that more skin has to be cut off in order to Megala Be'aver B'shas Mila. B'shas Aver Mace, yes.
Once you're
dealing with
the
issue of running of Mariah's iron, why
you measure it only when it's
kishir?
You didn't measure
Mariah's iron,
might as well marry, you measure it even when it's
low kishir. That's a question that has to be dealt with by that. But that already we have a Gemara. So that we don't have to worry too much about.
Isn't cutting more than necessary for a neat job, isn't that a risk? First of all, a risk. Second of all,
so within reason. Within reason. I know it's obviously they're not cutting. This is the mumchus of Mila, to know how much is too much. But the idea to be minimalist, to cut just enough, so that's very dangerous for many reasons, in terms of the mitzvah of Mila, I mean. Because first of all, you're not necessarily going to get the chutamakis, even b'shas kishui, and even if you do, you're not necessarily going to get a b'shas aver meis, so you have to cut off a little more. That's what, I'm not talking about another inch, the whole aver is just an inch and a half, or less for a baby. One other point in this regard, just as a curiosity, the Sefer HaBrit points out that sometimes, I mentioned this before, sometimes it happens after Mila, in which case you have to be a little, as Moyle pointed out to me, you have to be a little not so gentle. You have to keep pushing the skin back so the skin shouldn't fuse. But sometimes such a situation happens before the Mila, where the gid is totally swallowed up by a whole mound of gushy skin. Which is why, when all things being equal, with the Moilim can, they try to have the baby seen beforehand. So they plot strategy. Doesn't always work out that way. Morale's a busy schedule, but so the Sefer HaBrit writes. And what are you going to do with this kid? You're going to follow the Chassam Sofer and cut off the whole thing? It has to be. So he suggests that you can't say that the whole mound is considered Or HaOrla. So I don't exactly know his maskana, but Chochamein of Rosho, that's why that Molim out there who know what they're doing. And that's probably why Rabbi Zinman, amongst many others, points out that idea that the father should do the Mila to be Choshesh for the Sheet of Hashach, that you can't make a Shliach, is not such a good idea. That even in a smooth situation, there are always complications, and the Mol should do the job, that's what he's paid for, and that's his Mumchus. And he should know exactly how to do it well. Even if he sets it up, it's not so simple to cut that skin. As Rabbi Zinman pointed out, the skin of Mila is like the skin of a chicken neck. So if you ever try cutting the skin of a chicken neck, they're probably more cut fingers than cut skins of chicken neck. It's a very gushy type skin, very slippery. So even if everything's set up, it's not so poshut. I usually mention in the Chazar, Rabbi Braunschweigel Shlita, when he gave over Hilchos Mila, so he pointed out the story from Reb Chaim that he was choshish for the Shach, so he was Malik's first son, maybe his second son, I'm not sure, but by the time he got to the, how many sons did he have? Two sons? Maybe the second son. So Reb Simcha Zelig, is it? The Dayan of Brisk? So he was Mitzavah Reb Chaim, that he's not allowed to do the Mila anymore. So he said, B'shach ha'ayin shach morgan, but there's no mitzvah to make your son into a kalika. Which put simply, there's no mitzvah to wound your son. So he didn't let him do the Mila the second time. But some people do it successfully, and some fathers are trained for a while in order to be able to make a Mila. They don't do it professionally, but I've heard it's not a good idea. There's certainly, as we saw before, the Shulchan Aruch, the Gra, and the Daki Moshe, and many others who say he says them to make a Shliach, and that's what we do. So let them do the Mila and let the fathers not get involved. That's editorial. Okay. Rezimanov points out the father doesn't know how to work with the knife. He said he once gave a father a knife to cut him, and the father was about to slice off the fingers of three onlookers. Okay, we'll get to that later about the knife. So that's topic number one that's left over from before. I didn't think it was such a big issue. I heard also on the tape from Rabbi Schechter, he quoted that the Minchas Alazar was also a moyel, so he was machmir also for this chasam sofer. I don't think it makes such a big deal, the big difference, but to cut off more skin. Minchas Alazar, like the chasam sofer, the Chacham Asfari, that even the first time around, you have to cut off enough skin to be megal the atara b'shas aver meis. He noted a humorous story that the Minchas Alazar used to find people in the mikveh who he thought whose milas were not so proper. So he took them aside and said, "We'll have to fix it." Okay. All right. It's Chassidus together with Mila. Okay, Simon Reish Samach Hey. About Metzitza. So in Simon Reish Samach Dalid, as well as later in the Reish Samach Vav concerning Shabbos, the Shulchan Aruch writes that you have to do Metzitza, as the Reish Tendl spent some time on, that Metzitza, the Gemara says, it's a sakana if you don't do it, some avirin also. So Reish Tendl discussed, it's a very important Torah Mada topic, if you will. To what extent, if we assess that Mishtano HaTzvayim, or Yediyah Sateva, that nowadays it's not a danger anymore, maybe it even is a danger to do Metzitza, so what should we do? So I just wanted to briefly discuss the bottom line and the Shita Saposkim on this, which Aritendo did, but just to elaborate a little more on things he said a little more in the past. And that is that the Gemara says he's doing Metzitza both B'chol and B'Shabbos. Of course, because of this whole scare that started in the 19th century about infection, so there was a whole tumult about Metzitza. So many Gedol Yisrael said, absolutely not an inch, af shalo. You have to keep up in Hagi Yisrael, and Shem Yisrael Hashem, and the risk factor is not enough to start changing anything. And that's what's kept in many communities, especially in the Hasidic circles. There were many, especially Litvish Gedolim, who shifted to Metzitza Biyad. They used to use a sfog, some kind of suction tube, or even just a sponge that they used to clamp onto the baby's aver and squeeze a little bit. The Binyan Tzion, even in the Litvisha world, was Rosh HaMisnagdim about this, that you cannot have any change in the minig, and Metzitza is absolutely necessary, and Metzitza means to suck, and it doesn't mean to squeeze. Mitzah means to squeeze, Metzitza means to suck, although that's a debatable point of Binyan Tzion. But for that reason and many other reasons also, he says you must do Metzitza B'peh. And the Be'er Halacha, interestingly, in Simon Shin Lamed Aleph, he quietly just quotes the Machlokes. And that's it. He says, Binyan Tzion says you have to have Metzitza B'peh. And Rabbi Loza Horowitz, who was the Rosh HaMedabrim in the other side, who was the one who instituted the Metzitza B'sfog, who had the apparent verification of the Chasam Sofer, but many in the other machaneh said that was a forgery because it's not printed in the classic in the standard tshuvas of Chasam Sofer. It's printed only in the Koivitz tshuvas because it was a letter that the Rabbi Loza Horowitz was in the back of the Gemara. I think Rabbi Loza Horowitz the back of the Gemara, the Graham. So he publicized that letter. So others said it was a forgery. So the Berelch quotes both positions without being machriya. So if you look in the Sefer Bris, he has about 35 pages or more in tiny letters on this debate. The Stei Chemed, once the Stei Chemed touches anything, so then, you're in for the long haul. So he quotes all the letters in the Gedolei Eretz Yisrael, mostly on the side of insisting on the Metzitza B'peh. And going back to our current era, so if you look in the packet, Rabbi Tendler briefly alluded to it, so both Rav Kook and more recently, Avdol Mechaim L'Chaim, Rav Yoshev, both took up this issue again, and they were basically asking that if you feel there's a sakana, so you shouldn't do it b'peh. That you should use a tube. Where did the tube come from? So I didn't get a chance to really look through the materials in the Sefer Bris concerning the tube, which was kind of a pshara, do it b'peh, but not b'peh. So it should be a suction motion, but without any contact of the mouth directly, to avoid the germs. So the... Rav Braunspiegel mentioned to us that this was a compromise proposal that was proposed by Rav Hirsch to try to make shalom in this regard. There are a few published tshuvas of Rav Hirsch in a collection of tshuvas called Shemesh Marpe, so he speaks a little bit about this topic. But so he apparently was one who came up with that idea, and he sent a letter to Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, that who okayed it. So that's okay. So that's where this tube came from, which many Moalim do nowadays. And I was mentioning to someone after the class that some Moalim have a policy that if the father wants to do Matisse of a pair, so Gesintahate. But if the father does not want to do Matisse of a pair, then the Moal will use the tube. So I just want to discuss the following issue. What about Matzitza on Shabbos? So if you're a loyalist and you hold that the Gemara knew better, and Hevel, Sheker, Diver, Pihem of all the Rofim nowadays, because or you hold it's a Sakana Ruchnis, not a Sakana Gashmis, which is some have proposed. It's not a physical Sakana, it's a spiritual Sakana. So it's part of the... So it's certainly allowed on Shabbos also, and there's no problem. Rabbi Tendler, who was going with the literal reading of the Gemara, which would sound like it's purely Sakana, now we know it's not Sakana. So, you know, he felt you don't do it at all on Shabbos. I think in Mibein HaDvarim, I don't think he would throw a moil out of his shul if he did Mitzitza on Shabbos, but he wouldn't advocate it. Just wanted to point out two possible coolers for those who, on the one hand...
Didn't he say it was cold though?
Yeah. Yeah, okay, but he didn't propose stopping it during the week.
Okay.
There's enough out there to that much to say. It's enough. It's necessary chavola. Notwithstanding the issue of the Shem of Sayyim Hashem and all that, which was raised by someone, but on Shabbos he seems to say he can't do it. I just wanted to share with the assembled. There are two coolers that some poskim have put forth to. Even those who are choshesh with this whole idea that it's just sakana, and nowadays not a sakana, to still allow it on Shabbos. Number one is Mekalka b'chabura, which is a machlokes in the Gemara where the sasim in the Torah asim midrabanan, and the psalmi shonim pasim sasim midrabanan. So the Binyan Siyan mentions this, I think, as part of his analysis, that you should know that even lefi das hamisnagdim, we're only dealing with a rabbinic issue on Shabbos, so don't wave the flag too high about not doing it on Shabbos because Chil Shabbos, because Maxim is dealing with a Derabanan, and since the Binyan Siyan holds he should do it, so he's not so worried about the Shabbos issue. Well, of course, Derabanan is still lesser, but he holds he should do it, so he's not so worried about the other position. There are those who hold Mekalka B'chabura as Chayiv, as Rabbi Flug pointed out to me, but I think the Binyan Siyan is going with those who hold that it's only Derabanan. Then there's an Avni Nezer in the Tshuva, which Rabbi Tendler elaborated on very briefly this year, more so than last year. The Avni Nezer is a big proponent of Matzitza B'peh, both because of the simple reading of the Gemara and also because there's all sorts of Kabbalistic ideas in Matzitza B'peh. And furthermore, he has a Chiddush that since at the time of Har Sinai it was a Sakana, so it became part of the procedure of Mila. So it cannot be abolished even in an era where it ceases to be Sakana. Now, of course, if you could have hard evidence that there's a Sakana by doing it, so if there's a sakana by doing Mila, you don't do it either. But he's not convinced of such hard evidence that it is a sakana to do it. The fact that it's not a sakana anymore, so the Avni Nezer suggests that, but still might be a chelik of the mitzvah. Of course, a very big chiddush to say that as of Har Sinai, if something was a sakana, so it should be considered part of the mitzvah as well, because he has to also deal with the issue of bathing the baby, which was also a sakana at the time of Har Sinai and the Gemara, etc. So that he's machalik between bathing the baby, which is really separate from the mila, and this, which is like part of the in the process of the mila itself, that even though it starts out as sakana, still becomes a chelik. Rabbi Tendler very briefly alluded to that Avni Nezer, but you have it in the packets to check through the tshuva. Very interesting tshuva. But then he tries to save the Shabbos issue, even according to Misnagdim, by the following: it's mikubal by Rov HaPoskim that Hatavas Dam Bris is a chelik of every mila. It's based on a Rashi Masechta Shabbos, and he points out that seems to be the dynamic of the Ramah and the Shach and the Taz, who are acquiring Atavas Dam Bris when you have a meal that's done by the wrong person or at the wrong time. What's the analysis there? Because there's a supposed to Atavas Dam Bris, the removal of the Arla and the Priya you can't do anymore because you did it wrong, so at least save what you can and do the Atavas Dam Bris Behechshir. That's assuming that Atavas Dam Bris is not just a makeup of Mila, but it's also a chelek of every mila. It's not just a substitute for mila, but it's also a chelek of every mila. So the Avni Nezer says that just like the Maril, and I think of Chaim with Mdaik, it's in the Rambam too, but apparently it's also not a Maril. Maral Miprag in Haggadah says the same thing. The Rambam says concerning matzah, Ocho Kazayas Yotza. So it sounds like the more matzah you eat in the Leil HaSeder, the more mitzvah. There's a minimum, but everything you do is nitbas in that mitzvah. So the Avni Nezer suggests the same thing is true for Tavas Dam Bris. doesn't mean, you know, mahadrin and mahadrin, mahadrin, so you make the kid bleed and bleed and bleed and bleed and bleed. So it means that you don't have to be so concerned about extra blood, extra chavalah, because al pi halacha, it's included in atavas amris. When I was speaking to Rabbi Schechter about this, who also is a proponent of the other side, that mitzvah is very questionable nowadays, whether you have to do it or not. Because Rabbi Soloveitchik also held that way. The Sefer Bris quotes that in Bris, they gave a kol kore from a pchayim that absolutely you can't do mitzvah b'peh. It's included in the Sefer Bris. They had a letter that you can't do mitzvah b'peh, and Bris didn't allow it. I don't think they used the tube. I think they used the sponge there, the squeeze. So I asked him, no Rebbe, halacha l'maisa, what about Shabbos? So he quoted that Avni Nezer. He thought that either you could rely on it, or it's correct, however you want to put it, but he was the first one, Rabbi Schechter was the first one who pointed it out to me, but it's in the same tshuva we have in the packets, where he writes that it's a chelak of the Hatavas Dan Bris, so you need not be so concerned, even Lafi Das HaMisnagdim, in terms of Mitzitza. So again, you have these different positions out there. Rabbi Tendler held you shouldn't do it, and I think other Rabbanim side with him on that. He held you shouldn't do it at all, really, but he's not going to be Moichah during the week. On Shabbos, he held you should not, can't do it, cannot. And the other poskim hold there's absolutely no reason to avoid it even during the week. And some make some insist you should always use the tube, and they're not concerned of doing it on Shabbos either because of the Makal Kol B'Chavur issue, it's only the Rabbanan, or because of its other numbers. Okay. Well, both are the original concern where it all started was the fact that babies got sick, and that's the primary concern now too. But there's a concern in the reverse also that many Mo'alim who doing brisim all over the place, but they'll insist on using the tube not because they're afraid of their own transmission. Although maybe they should be, because the Ritenda pointed out that you can't really detect certain diseases until it's too late. But they're concerned about their own health. So they're concerned, especially if they're going to spread out the gamut. That's what the Chuvis were really dealing with by Rav Yoshiv, and maybe Rav Cook also. They were concerned the other way, that the Molin didn't want to do it because they were just doing research to children who they had no kind of any evidence whatsoever in terms of the child's state of health. So it is both ways, but the earlier sources were discussing infecting the baby. That's what Rabbi Tendler was primarily concerned about also, because the babies have an undeveloped immune system. So that's why he was very Eish Lahava against Matisse Gopet. It only goes into the tube. It stays in the tube, yeah. Unless they really go hard, but they don't do that. Yeah.
If you go through,
the round language of the Rambam, the Gemara just says Mitzitza, and the Rambam says you suck it out from Makomas or Chokin. That's what the Shulchan Aruch writes. Yeah, they presumably, as Rabbi Tendler indicated, that it probably was a second of the times of the Gemara because they didn't have sterile instruments, and when you remove the surface blood, so you're moving the blood, they got dirty.
And the reason that makes it
right.
Even though the blood has sort of left.
Right. But you're drawing out more blood from the capillaries inside. If Tendler said that, he's quoted as his grandfather to be on a moil. He says things are so unsanitary. He says the moil used to sharpen their knives on the boot. So, okay. On their boot. They used to sharpen the Mila knife on the boot. They didn't know this whole Torah of germs being transmitted. They probably rinsed it off, I assume, but no. Okay.
Question, if I may. For those that hold that the tzitzit is allowed during the week but not allowed on Shabbos, what's their rationale to say that the tzitzit is not part of Mila as well?
Because the Gemara says it's Sakana. It never says that Avni Nezer, that... The Avni Nes is Chiddush, that since Asaf Har Sinai was Sakana, so Mamela becomes part of the mitzvah forever and ever, even when the Sakana will cease. That's a big Chiddush. The Gemara sounds like it's the whole reason it's necessary is like washing the baby in hot water, which we don't do anymore. The Shulchan Aruch already knows that. So when this is Sakana, you do it. When it's not a Sakana, you don't do it. That's what it sounds like in the Gemara. So that's they would hold like that. Okay? Let's move on to Simin Reish Samach Hey. Oh, in terms of the anesthesia, which Rabbi Tendler pointed out, that he's a big fan of topical anesthesia. So we remind Sarah Meal as much as you can. He pointed out, it's interesting, that one of the reasons that's given for mitzitza is to ease the pain of the baby. The Sefer Bris writes that one of the reasons of mitzitza is to soothe the, much like when you have a cut, you suck the wound, it makes it soothing. So you see that there's this idea that you should try to minimize the pain. They also put like alcohol on it, so some people spit wine on it, so that's all that idea. It'll kind of like deaden numb the pain. So I just wanted to point out Lamaisa that there is a big machlokas of poskim on this. So Ritandler himself alluded to it. So he's a big proponent of doing it, and he holds that the objections are totally not correct, because the fact that Avraham Avinu did it bitzar, but that's Avraham Avinu. He was an adult, not a child, and to impose tzar on a child is totally improper. And Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is quoted as saying, Rabbi Rosner, whose father is Dr. Fred Rosner, so a lot of dealings with Rabbi Shlomo Zalman. So he, after researching the topic, he said there's no reason in Nigla to aser it. And then he sent him to a Mekubal to ask him whether there's any reason in Nister to aser it. And then the Mekubal said, no reason in Nister to aser it either. So apparently he's quoted as saying that he has no objection to using the topical cream. And other posts can do object for whatever the reasons that Rabbi Tendler mentions. Maybe Saradavka, there are other reasons given too, but they're very difficult, the reasons. They say maybe it's
Wasser or Wasser?
Oh, could be. I don't remember who said it. I noticed it's Eliezer raised that issue. And there's another issue they say. Meir Arik, the Imre Yosher, had a problem with a ger. That if it's general anesthesia, so then he's going to be nichnas lebris when he's not awake. But that might be an issue. Even then, I don't know what the final psak is on that. But it's certainly not an issue with a baby, and certainly not with general anesthesia.
Moshe
what? He did allow it orally, or it's written in like chelachet or something, or it's in the regular tshuvas. Oh, it's in the packet. Oh, even better. Okay, I didn't see it. So I wasn't trying to challenge the Chasam. I just didn't know. I just didn't know. It's Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer Waldenberg, post-secondary Tzoril.
Okay, I didn't know.
Published about 15 volumes of Tshuva, so they have in the base matters. If you could find it, Rabbi Pinchas, please. Okay, I think Rabbi Tendler might have mentioned orally that he heard from Rabbi Moshe that he agreed to it. I think he might have mentioned that. I don't recall seeing the Jews. Okay, Reish Samachay, the bracha, the mila, and some of the rest of the ceremony, but I won't deal with all of the ceremonies, just primarily bracha and one or two other issues. There is on mila three brachas, the ala mila, and as the Shulchan Aruch notes later, there's machlok in the Rambam and the other Rishonim as to whether or not if the father's doing the mila, whether the father says Lamul. Rambam says the father says Lamul, and other Rishonim say you always say Alamila. Okay, that might be a machlok, Ashkenazim, Sephardim, Alach Lamaisa. Then there's a bracha Lachnisa, Berisa, Shel Ramavina, which is stated by the father. And then there's a bracha, Abirchas Hasheva, Chavasher Kida, Shedid Mi Beten, which is followed by Hiratzon, which is followed by the drinking of a wine. Because that bracha is preceded by a Bar Priya Gofen, Betaras Minhag. So the Rishonim have a machlokis whether the second bracha is recited before the mila or after the mila. The old minig was to recite it after the mila, and Rashbam said, no, it's a birchas mitzvah, shekir shano, it's a tivanu, has to be recited beforehand. And Rabbeinu Tam, the younger brother of the Rashbam, said there's no reason to change the minhagim, it could be after. So there were two versions in the Rishonim to explain that sheet of the Rabbeinu Tam as to why it could be after. To say it has to be before, that's simple, it's a birchas mitzvah, as we said before. To say it could be after, so that's one of two reasons. Either because it's a Birchas HaShevach, and a Birchas HaShevach can be recited after, or it is a Birchas HaMitzvah, but it's a Birchas HaMitzvah HaTolei B'Yad HaCheirim, namely the Moil. So since it's a Birchas HaMitzvah HaTolei B'Yad HaCheirim, so if you're going to say the Bracha, and then the Moil will turn to you and say, how much are you paying me for the Mila? Not enough. And then it'll walk away, so you'll be hanging with a Bracha L'Vatolei. So that's why you should say it after. Similar to the Shitas HaRavid. The Ravid says, that's why he says you say Birchas HaKiddushin after the Mesiris HaTabas. As opposed to the Rambam, who says you do it before, which is what we do. The Ravid says you do it after because you're dependent on the Kala. The Kala says, I'm getting cold feet, I'm leaving. So then that's why you say it after. So the Taz and the Shach briefly record this Machlokis. And the Rosh, as recorded in the Shulchan Aruch, makes a Pshara. And that pshara is premised on the second havana of why you say it after, namely that it's a berachas mitzvah, but it's a berachas mitzvah that's tali biyad acherim. So you don't want to do it unless you're sure that the moral is going to actually do the milah. So the Rush recommends is to do it in between the milah and the priya, because it's very unlikely that the moral is going to be poresh and not do it once he did the milah already, and then not do the priya. That's very rare. So if you say it right then, you'll get both shittas, because on the one hand it's before the mitzvah is complete, because hamal velo para ki'ilu lo mal. But on the other hand, it's there's no chash that the mole will not do the job because he already started the milah. The question then arises, as what about nowadays that most, at least non-Hasidic molim, do milah and priya bevas achas, as we pointed out last week, where they cut off the milah and the priya together, so there is no in-between milah and priya. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, the tzal, you have it in the packet, is paskin as follows. So let the father begin the bracha of Asher Avachniso right after the mohel starts cutting. How does that help? Because let's say the cutting takes 2 seconds. So if the father starts saying the bracha after half a second, so that means after the mohel already he started the cut, so he's not backing out now. Now he's going through the job. So you'll still get that idea that it should be a little bit before the end of the mitzvah.
Once he starts cutting?
Yeah. So practically what that means, since the mohelim are quick, so that's why the mohel says to the father, first to be manami as your shliach, that's what they try to do, some actually get over the knife. And then they say, as soon as I'm finished ala mila, you start your bracha. What's the lumdus of that? It means, because as soon as the mohel says ala mila, he's cutting, and by the time the fellow gets the baruch out of his mouth, the mohel will have already started cutting. Okay, this is all trying to, you know, squeeze in some remnant of this pshara of the rush when you can't really squeeze it in. When I heard of the Rabbi Shechter on this tape in the fourth floor, so he said, so nowadays we follow the Ikar Adin, which is you say Lachniso after. Ultimately, that's what it's going to be most of the time, because the father's not so quick on his toes. But that was the Das Rov Rishonim, like Rabbi Natam, the old minig, to say the Lachniso after. But the Ramosha tried to have this, to have your cake and eat it too. So that's where that idea comes from, to say it in a very rushed way right after the Ramosha's idea, yeah, to say it right away. But Rabbi Shechter thought that even, he didn't quote that Ramosha on the tape, but I think that's what he was driving at, that it doesn't really work out. So bottom line, I was saying it after. And it's not so terrible, that's the Das Rov Rishonim. Of course, by the Hasidic Shemolim, it's much easier to fulfill this rush, because right after the Mila, there's another few seconds in which you could say Lach Nisum. The Taz writes that since one of the primary reasons to say it after is in order to make sure the Mohel doesn't back out, so if you are the Mohel, meaning you, the father, are the Mohel, so say it before. You say Al HaMila, and then Lach Nisum, and then you cut. And he says you have to do it that way. He says, Chas V'Shalom, do it the other way, because if you're going to follow the rush, then here, if you're the same one who's doing the priya, so if you're the father and you're cutting the milah, and now you're about to do the priya, but you have to say a bracha. So while you're doing the bracha, the aver is going to get all bloody, and you're not going to be able to find the ora priya anymore. It's a big mess. So the Taz says that's what you should do, and that's what he did at the milah of his children. So if they ask trivia, which of the Nosei Kalim was a mohel, the Taz. Because it says the Farish.
Because he held that he can't do it with his own son.
Shach?
He can't give over.
Oh. Yeah, he says you can't if you know the Malacha. So. Okay. All right, very good. Alamila, Lachniso, and then he cut. Because you eliminate all the major problem is because he'll back out, but you're the father, so you're not backing out. What if there is no father? So the Rambam says no father. He thinks no bracha. And we paskin not that way. We paskin that you give it to someone else. The sandik, you machabi somebody else. Because basically the svara is that the someone else is serving in the capacity of beis din. There's no father, so Beis Din is doing the milah. So the Beis Din is making the bracha lachnisa. So who's the Beis Din? We pointed out you don't need a yeshiva's Beis Din. It means some member of Klal Yisrael has to be mamuna to take care of it. So someone representing Klal Yisrael makes this bracha. I don't know what the Sfardi Psak is, but that's the way the Ramah paskins, that the someone else says the bracha. The Ramah writes, the meaning is that the Sandik says it. It could be said by anybody if there's no father, but the meaning is Sandik. By Ger, the whole slew of other brachas. So, it's not made by the Ger, that's for sure. There's even a possibility of saying this bracha on your own, right? They point out that older people, if they're having a meal done to them, so then they will say Lehi Kanes Vizo Shel Ramazino. Pistei Tshuva quotes that. That even if they're not doing the meal, usually they're not doing the meal on themselves, but they're the Mamuna now. I'm talking about an older Jew, or right? Someone who just didn't have the meal done earlier. Yeah. No, I don't think so. I'm totally off on this, but I don't. There's no father. We don't have a Moshe Beis Din. We get somebody to do it. It means Beis Din is representing Klal Yisrael. So here there are more quotes. The Minigas of Sandik does it, presumably because he has more of a chelik in the Mila. Okay. The other Minhagim mentioned, I'm not going to focus on terms of standing and Kisa Shalayo. Okay. Let's move on to. We already mentioned there's no bracha on a tafas dan bris, and there's no bracha anytime that the milah is done misafik. Okay. There's no bracha on tzitzim she'ena ma'akvim, only tzitzim ma'akvim. Okay. What do you do when there's a problem with the cup of wine? So the cup of wine is only done as a minag. And it's certainly not ma'akev if you don't have wine, so you don't do it. But what if you have wine, but it's a day that you can't drink the wine? So that comes up on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av and the Shaar Tanesim. And here, there are different shittas, both in the Mechaber over here, and also in the Mechaber and the Ramah, and here and in Or HaChaim. I had an annotated version of the Shulchan Aruch, where I put my own notes on it, and I forgot it at home today. So I don't have it as clear as I had with the notes. So I'm a little bit from memory. But over here, the Mechaber passing is as follows. On Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, you have no cup. Just don't have a cup. On the other Tanesim, so then you give it to the Mechaber Paskins, you give it to the Yoledes. Because the woman is not fasting on the quote-unquote minor fast days. She's considered like a choyla, she'en basakana, and even more so. So, I'm sorry? Not bizmano. There is a machlokis about whether the Baalei Bris, the Baalei Simcha, have to be masim the tainis, but I think we pass them like the Radvaz, as quoted here on the margin, that bizmano, a tainis bizman, you have to fast. You have to fast. That's certainly the mashmos of the Mechaber, because he doesn't have the Av or the Moyel or the Sandik drinking. He has the Yoledes drinking it. And the Ramah has a different approach. He has as follows, that on Yom Kippur, we always have a cup. On Yom Kippur, which is, that's the Raisa, so there we don't want to give it, I don't know why he doesn't give it to the Yoledes. Well, the Yoledes is not eating on Yom Kippur, unless she's a Chol Shesh Pesachana, which is not the norm. Once she's already passed day 7, or day 3, is it? When does she leave Sakana?
Day 3.
So she's not Mesukin, so she's fasting on Yom Kippur, all things being equal. So the only other options is to give it to a Katan, or to the baby. So to give it to the Katan, to give it to a Katan, on Yom Kippur, we want to be Choshish for those Rishonim who are worried about Dilma Asi Lemisrach. That he's going to get older and say, I'm the Yom Kippur guy. I drink wine on Yom Kippur. So even though some Rishonim say, what do you have to worry about? A meal on Yom Kippur is so rare. It's not going to happen that he'll get so used to that. But on Yom Kippur, the Ramah is choshish for that. So he recommends the minigas, he says, to give it to the baby. A few drops, obviously, not the whole cup. And on other fast days, including Tisha B'Av, so you give it to a katan. And there we're not worried about Asi L'Misrach at all. Okay, still a chassi shir, normally wouldn't do that. Okay, But the oletus is, according to the Mechaber, is eating totally, so... Okay. Oh, on Yom Kippur?
Yeah,
but not every Chol HaShem B'Sakana has to eat Shiurim. Right, unless... But unless there's a specific reason, a Chol HaShem B'Sakana eats nothing on Yom Kippur. Unless he needs that in order to prevent himself from lapsing into a Chol HaShem B'Sakana. Or even if he is B'Sakana... But he doesn't need a full meal to get. I'm not being brisk now, right? The bread of brisk is because he's a kind of just eats. But they agree by the Yoledes. By the Yoledes, who's even within 3 days. So isn't that where the Mechaber says that you do Shiurim? And isn't that where the briskers would agree? Because that's a different type of a holy.
Right.
But all things being equal, though, we don't even give a Chol HaShem B'Sakan even a Chatishir.
Right?
Okay. So these are the different minhagim, and especially for those, so the Ashkenazi psak is consistent. For those interested in the Sephardi psak, there's a stira between the Mechaber here in Yerodea and the Mechaber in Orach Chaim. And the Mechaber in Orach Chaim seems to be more of a fan of giving it to Yoledes and Tektanim from more areas than he says here. So Ayin Sham, I just don't remember it now because I don't have my notes in front of me. We'll stick to the Mechaber in the Ramah in Yerodea. Okay. So then, I think the meaning is that the Balei HaBris do not have to be mashlim. Do they eat right away or they fast half day? I'm not sure about these details.
I remember anything on Tisha B'Av, you do it in the afternoon anyway.
Okay. Okay. So maybe you could have more people drink it. Okay. It's not fresh. Reish Samachay, yes, if Dalit, and then there's a cross reference to Orach Chaim in Hilchas Tainis. One of the Nosa Kalim here mentions it. I don't know. It's a Tovkuf Nun Dalit. Tovkuf Nun Dalit. Okay. There is a big Chiddush here that's going to be relevant to Hilchas Ishus. So just a little. Precedent for what we'll see later. The Tino is going to drink a cup of wine. Bracha levatala. Shemea ka'ina, yata maitzi. He had in mind the bracha. So this gets involved in the whole issue of what's the nature when you have a kos. And this halacha, ha'mavorech tarach shiitam. What is that halacha? Is that really a separate halacha? It has nothing to do with making the bracha into not a bracha levatala. To be zayin for the cup that you made, you put in the context of a mitzvah ceremony to not be drunk. Someone has to drink it. But that bracha of Bar Pregovin in the context of a mitzvah ceremony, it has the halacha of something like a birchas hamitzvah of sorts. So you don't really need shemeya ka'ona. And it doesn't follow the regular rules. And that's simply speaking what we're doing with all of these things, even when a grown up drinks it, or even a katan shegiya lechinuch, because normally the rule is by a birchas hanenin. You have to drink too. So you don't say Yatzamotzi by a birchas hanenin unless it's a birchas mitzvah. So how could I make the bracha and have the Yoledes drink it? How could I make the bracha and have a katan, even shegiya lechinuch, who has in mind to be yotzi the bracha, drink it? So when stuck, we rely on this shita that the nature of this kind of bracha is something like a birchas mitzvah, which you don't necessarily, you don't have to be makbid on your drinking it, and maybe you don't even have to be makbid on a bar das drinking it. That's the Tinoch of the Ramah. And the Shach even records that it was Nahug in his day to always give it to the Tinoch. I think that's what he writes. I can't track down the Shach now. Yeah. No, sorry. Scratch that. The Shach writes it was Nahug in his day to always give it to small children, not to the Tinoch. So that's not going to be relevant to what I just said now. Please ignore that. Strike from the record. But the bottom line is that on Yom Kippur, we're not interested in making a bracha levatala on Yom Kippur, but we're relying on those poskim who say that the nature of this bracha is such is that it has to be tasted by somebody. But it's not really a bracha levatala if a bar das was not formally yotze that bracha. So of course that's very relevant to the birchas ha'eris. Because any bracha that's mamish a birchas ha'mitzvah, let me rephrase that. Any bracha that's mechuyav al pi ha'alacha, like kiddush, so there everyone holds you say yotze motzi on. At least Yatzamotzi. If not the extra chiddush, you can give it to a tinok, but at least Yatzamotzi, you don't have to drink it. But what the bracha is only a minag, that's a big machlokas aposkim, whether or not you have to drink it or not. And that's this whole thing with the spilling on the thumb and, you know, some amakbit, some asadri kedushin, when they make the bracha on erusin, which is only a bracha of a minag, that they act a little jittery, and they spill a little wine on their finger. So as the chasen and kala drinking, they suck their fingers. So mimakayim shamei kona. That's what they quote in the name of Reb Chaim Brisker, and Briskerov says he never saw his father do it. So I like to make a joke. He never saw his father do it because he did it so smoothly. He even hid it from his son. Because the whole reason he put it on the finger, because he didn't want it to be yuara. He didn't want everyone to realize that he was drinking. So when we get to Ishus, I don't want to dwell on that. Rabbi Bleich Shlita will elaborate on that a lot in terms of whether that's normative. But I'm just pointing out that here in Hilchos Mila, the basic framework for that discussion is already laid out. Okay. I have to move on. I'm sorry.
Even if it's just a part of the mitzvah,
right,
still with the necessity of the
one to say, yeah. The Gemara says in Brachos, I think, that Hamavarech Tzarech Sheyitom, and the language of Rashi, I think, is Gnayhu L'Koyshel Bracha Shelo Yitamu Mimenu. So Gnayhu Bracha L'Vatalahu L'Kos Shelo Yitamu Mimenu. So it sounds like from that Rashi that it's just a separate halacha that it should be drunk. Okay. There is a discussion concerning two-for-one milos, either two families having on the same day in the same shul, or more often twins. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, you should make one set of brachos. Just make sure not to talk, or be mefiach das b'nehem. And the Rama writes that if they do talk between them, or they didn't have das for it, or it has chadas, so you have to make two sets of brachos. You finish off the earlier milah with the last brachos, and then you begin the next milah with a new set. So here the Shach and the Taz point out that it's not so glad to make sure there's no hefzik. So the Shach, I think, is a proponent that you should always make two brachas because it's going to be very difficult to makom shein minig. You should always make two sets of brachas because it's going to be very difficult to avoid hefzik. And the Taz writes that if you're worried about a hefzik, so you should make sure to make two sets of brachas, but otherwise you should do one.
Wait, what about when it comes to borei pri adachan? Is that also two sets of brachas? Because if you make borei pri adachan,
you don't have in mind.
You don't have in mind.
Yeah, but they're not drinking a shear anyway. So, oh, I see what you're saying. So that makes it worse. But presumably they don't have in mind the other wine beforehand. They only have in mind this local cup.
How about the aspect of, like, in Hilchos Brachos, when you bench and then the other spices, you've got to wait a little bit,
I don't know. I'm not sure. Here, the point here in the Shulchan Aruch is that really you're supposed to make one set of brachas. But if you're mafsik, so then you're stuck and you have to say two. So I don't know if that would be necessary anymore because you have to say another set. So lemaisa are different minhagim. The common practice is to make two sets of brachas in the case of a bris of twins, at least in America. And somebody told me, you know, these are always hearsay stories, I can't verify it for you, someone told me that I heard the name Rabbi Yoshev, that when he was at a bris of twins, he insisted that they say one set of brachas, because that's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. So if you're a Shulchan Aruch, you don't have any kuntz, so you just follow straight Shulchan Aruch. Yes? I don't know, I'm not... The Maisa by Chassanim is the same sack. By Chassanim, they say also make one set of brachas. So it depends on how those Rishonim navigate that sugya. When it does apply, when it doesn't apply, I'm not so familiar at all with that sugya, so I don't know how to answer that. But this is what it says here in Shulchan Aruch. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Shach? Right, but earlier he says that's in the Marashal. But then earlier, so it sounds like the Bach is going with the approach that regardless of whether it's two separate fathers or not, it could be you're right. Maybe the Bach agrees to that too. But the Bach sounds like saying across the board that's correct. The Marashal splits it between the retinue. It's one father. That's all the same caterer, same crowd. There's one after the other. Two fathers, so you're going to clear out the hall and get another set of people, so that's even worse. But the Bach, I got the impression, holds even with twins. That's
maybe the father is important because the mitzvah of Mila is on the father.
So if it's the same father, then...
I don't think that's the dynamic here. I think it's that we don't want to be marbe b'brachas, and if you could have one set of brachas for two kids, so you do the same. Do it with chasanim too, all things being equal. There too, I think the common practice is to split it up. It's not so common to have a double wedding. My got married at a double wedding, so I don't know what they did there, but I think I found that they did too. But the Shulchan Aruch, I think, is supposed to do one. Okay. What?
People make mass weddings.
Yeah. I don't know what they do there. I don't know. Okay. Sometimes they... All right. Right there. Shechianu is a discussion, whether you say Shechianu or not. The bottom line is, notwithstanding a very curious Ramah, is that the Ashkenazim never say Shechianu on a Mila because of Tzar HaTinok, and the Rambam, and those that follow Minhag HaGra, and that's also Minhag Eretz Yisrael, because it is Minhag HaGra, is to make Shechianu on Mila, because it's a mitzvah like any other mitzvah that's Bami Zman Luzman, so you make a Shechianu on Mila, as well as on Pidyon HaBen.
When your father, if he says if your father passed away, you make a Shechianu for the inheritance.
Okay.
That's the
Raya of the Gra. I think that's the Raya, one of the Rayas of the Gra, that you don't concern yourself with the Tzar here. Very good. I think it's one of the Rayas of the Gra. Okay. Just as a curiosity, the Ramah in Simon Sif Yud Aleph discusses the Kisei Shel Eliyahu. So I was always troubled. Kisei Shel Eliyahu. And then the Ramah writes, Kisei Shel Eliyahu, V'nolgin Lahadar Achar Mitzvah Zo Eliyahu Sandik. What does one name do with the other? Kisei Shel Eliyahu, and then the Ramah adds, Noigin to be a Sandik. So the Ramah probably had only one chair. And the minute was that they would designate the chair of, this is the Mechaber writes, Zeh HaKisei Shel Eliyahu HaNavi Zochel HaTov Malach HaBris, and then the Sandik would sit on the Kisei Shel Eliyahu. But others have the practice, no, Eliyahu needs a chair too. So they have two chairs. Two Minhagim, as quoted by the Sefer HaBris, different places have different Minhagim. Some have two chairs, some have one chair. So it's not a reform minhag. I got a little scared to have only one chair. That sounds like from the Ramah. He puts together Sandikos together with Kisei Shel Eliyahu. Eliyahu is not the physical entity anymore, so he doesn't need the space to sit. But there are those who have a practice to have two chairs. One the Kisei Shel Eliyahu, one the Kisei the Sandik. There is a minhag that's very well known. Anybody who doesn't know anything about Chmila knows this minig, that you're not a sandik for more than one child, more than one. The minig is not a din. There are the Gra writes, he thinks it's because of some Sefer Hasidim, some Kabbalistic idea. And the Ramah gives a reason, because we want to spread the wealth. Because the sandikos is supposed to be like Ketores, because you're bringing your child as a carbon, so it has a certain imagery of Ketores, and Ketores used to make the Kohanim rich. So Sandikos makes you rich, so you want to spread the wealth. So then the Gra says, why only by one parent? The minhag is not to be a Sandik, not more than once in your life, but more than once for the same family. So why not spread the wealth and not be a Sandik more than once? And the Gra writes, I never saw a Sandik get rich. Well, never saw a Sandik get rich. So Rosh Hashanah quoted on the tape, I think, that the stipler was a Sandik all the time. So he says, I never saw myself get rich. So the Talmidim said, look behind you. Behind him was arrayed all of his Sforim. Says, who says it refers to Oishir or Gashmi? Maybe it's Oishir Ruchni. So he smiled. So, but that is the Minhag Yisrael. I don't know if the Sforim have that practice too. But not to be a Sandik more than once for one child. And of course, since it's supposed to be like a Mizbeach, so all things being equal, right, Welch just again, Rav, my neighborhood, said, in these areas, first rule is Gol HaShalom. You have to keep that in mind too, but it's proper to have a sandik who's a very righteous individual. That's why they usually give it to, if not relatives, the next one over, Rabbanim, Rosh Hashiva, etc. Because he's supposed to be like the mizbeach. So he's the mizbeach of the child, and the moral is like bringing the carbon. That's, I just wanted to end the simon with this. Mechaber writes that the minig is to stand on, we mentioned it before in the context of shlichus, the father should stand next to the moil to tell everyone that he is his shliach, that the moil is the father's shliach. So the Gra points out that in the original source, that the Beis Yosef quotes, it goes a little further. Lehodio shu shlucho v'lamod al karbono. But just like you're supposed to be in the Beis Hamikdash when they bring the carbon, so you're supposed to be at the Mila when they bring your carbon. Namely the child, which is also the meaning, one of the reasons for the Shalom Zachar, So just like a carbon has to pass through a Shabbos, you bring it on day 8, so too the child has to pass through a Shabbos because it's being brought as a carbon, a dedication of his life to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay? One word about the Seuda. There's a minhag to have a Seuda based on the fact that Avraham Avinu made a Seuda, etc. Rabbi Tendler also quoted another allusion from Yisrael. He made a Seuda there in Leftrik Parsha. And then there's a minhag to have a minyan. And we pointed out that the Seuda does not absolutely positively have to be right away. Sometimes you have to break it up. It could be a day later, 2 days later, and on a tainis, if you do it in the Mila in the morning, which seems to be the preferred approach, so you're going to have the Seuda at night. And then the Pesach Tshuva quotes the famous line that you shouldn't invite people to a Seudas Mitzvah, based on the Ramah, right? You shouldn't. If you're invited to a Seudas Mitzvah, you're supposed to attend, otherwise you're benidui. So the Ramah, right? That's why the minig is not to invite. That's why people inform. They say there will be a bris, based on the Pesach Tshuva. So this is a good example of Kevin the Yatsim Yipum with the Rav. Right? The Gemara says in Psachim that it was another Amora, who said that you could be Yotze based Tafshilin with like beans and beets, so his Talmidim and Makbet used beans and beets. They didn't use the egg and the meat. Because the Rebbe said, you could even use this, so they were Mechaviv the Rebbe. So the Pitzchei Tshuva says, you don't invite to a bris, you inform about a bris, so everybody knows. Not you're invited to the bris, you're informed about the bris. And what about a wedding? And what about a bar mitzvah? And what about any other Seudas mitzvah? It's all the same halacha.
Right.
So next wedding invitation is, we hereby would like to inform you that the wedding of Marshall. So it's kind of like, it's not consistent. I'm not so convinced just because you receive something in the mail that you're going to be benidui if you don't attend. So, But this idea that for Seudas Mitzvah is just inform people rather than inviting them. Okay.
Do you
have to have the verse in the morning? Or the reason
Magdim. So it's supposed to be a second, we don't do it. I mean, at
crack of dawn.
Yeah.
Well, you're allowed to daven first. Not allowed to, but you have to.
So why don't we daven
earlier? Yeah, that's a good question. That troubled me. Because especially since Rov HaVos can seem to say that you're willing to sacrifice less of an oilam in order to be Mekayim more and more Zrizin. Not everyone agrees with that. Barovam, some hold is more than Zrizin, but most hold that Zrizin is better than Barovam, based on a Gemara Shana. So I don't know what the answer to that is. I guess that you shouldn't really delay. I don't know, but more than that, I can't say.
Even Shabbos, people don't do it for
right.
themselves. Like,
well, they point out you should really try to grab chatzos on Shabbos. You should sing less nigunim. That's a pischei tshuva. You should sing. You shouldn't be marach menigun. At least the chap before chatzos. Okay. Simin reish tamachvav. Just a little bit of mila b'Shabbos. We won't discuss mila of tzaras. It's not so nogea. Mila, of course, that's bizman. Could be done on Shabbos too, if it wasn't done beforehand, meaning the preparations. But what's supposed to be done, l'chachila, is you prepare everything in advance on Shabbos, and you are docha Shabbos for the Mila, the Priya, and the Mitzitza. Already discussed the controversy about the Mitzitza on Shabbos earlier, we're just now sticking to the language of the Shulchan Aruch.
Makshiri Mila is not allowed to be done on Shabbos.
Right, that's what I was trying to allude to. The Mila itself, the Mila, the Priya, and the Mitzitza. Everything else, including the instruments and the carrying of the instruments and the baby and everything to the right place, all should be done before Shabbos. And all of those things that you need to make sure the baby is not pisakana, such as preparing hot water when they used to bathe the baby and the bandages that have to be cut, etc., all should be done before Shabbos. So what if it's not? So if you did the meal already, obviously you do whatever you have to save the baby. But if you didn't do the meal yet, that's the machlokas rishonim quoted by the Shachir and Tifkat and Vav. Can you do the following? If you know in advance that you didn't prepare the bandages, so you didn't prepare the hot water, or whatever's necessary to save the baby from sakana, and I'm going to do the mila, and now the baby's going to be with sakana, and then I will heat up the hot water or cut the bandages, etc., as necessary. So the Ramban holds that you could do it. You take each halacha case by case. Right now I have a mitzvah to do, and I'm allowed to, and I don't have to worry about the chil Shabbos that will be engendered by this mitzvah. And the Baal HaMor says not that way, that you have to be a chacham in a barosho here, that you cannot put yourself in a matzvah of bikoch nefesh. Fascinating discussion, which I don't want to go into now, by the Be'er Halacha and Hilchis Hafloga B'Sfina. It is a stira with the Baal HaMor here, because the Baal HaMor is the big Baal HaShita, that the reason why you can't take a boat on day 4 and on from Wednesday and on is because you might have to be Masaki, you might have to be Mechal Shabbos to remove yourself from Sakana Al Hayam, and you're not allowed to put yourself in a situation of Sakana unless it's for a mitzvah. Because that's what the Gemara says, that you're allowed to be Ma'aflik B'Sfina for Tzarki Mitzvah. So why does the Baal HaMor say here that you can't put yourself in a Sakana? So, same as Tyrus on this, the Ver Alocha has one approach and others have other approaches. I'm sorry? Okay, that's one simple approach. Saving Avada, right? That's obvious answer. Rav Shech had a different Mahalach and others have other truths as well. Bottom line is V'machmi. Nowadays, it's a very little application. Band-Aids sold by the dozen, pre-cuts. So you know, you don't start cutting cloths, even during the week, you don't start cutting cloths. And we don't bathe the baby anyway, so there's very little nafkamina, but the bottom line is, okay, so you could just squirt it on and then bandage, so the way you would do with a diaper.
You know. It's not as effective, so if you put that on.
Okay, so you would usually, what they could do, though, is they put the cream also on the bandages themselves, just as a mold. You're right. But that's not a sakana. That's not a sakana. The anesthesia is not a sakana. You know, it's a good point, but none of this is sakana, so you can't be Mechal Shabbos for any of these things that are not sakana. So there's very little nowadays that you would have to do with sakana. But if it would come up, whatever, of course, you drive baby to the hospital, which is usually be the most, the baby keeps bleeding, so obviously that once you do it. But you would not set up a situation in advance knowing that there's going to be a sakana, because we pass them like the Baal HaMor and those we shown in the Rashba as well, who hold that way. I don't know, the cream, I don't know Rabbi Tendler's, you probably should ask him, because it's an anesthetic cream. So normally, at least Ashkenazim are worried about that being, about being memachek or memarech. Other poskim are makel as long as you absorb it into the skin, so there's no surface. So maybe Rabbi Tendler holds it's kedai to be makel on that, on those shittas. Or maybe you should do it kilachar yad. I don't know what he holds about that, but it's certainly not a sakana. So if the only way to do it is to make a globule of a cream on top and to have a surface, it's lachor that everyone would hold his memory. I don't know what they do. Could be they do it right on Friday. I have no idea. I'm sorry. I'm ignorant on that. I don't know. That's not going to make a part of the meal. That's not going to make a part of the meal to save a little pain. I would think. Okay. Further. There's a little carryover to Hilchos Erevin, which we'll skip in terms of what's allowed. But there's no chidushim here. You're allowed. Everyone got it wrong on the test. But because it was only on the Shulchan Aruch, it wasn't on the Chazara, so that was a very not nice comment. The halacha technically is that if you have kelim sheshav subachotzer, you're allowed to carry from one chotzer to the next, even though it's not your chotzer, as long as they're all surrounded by wolves. So I most everyone got it wrong on the test. Okay. I have no excuse. I've been going through this year after year after year. So whatever I remember, it's okay. Let's continue. What are you allowed to do in terms of malacha to have the milah happen if you need something to happen? So here, the different days can be shown. And some say you're allowed to do amir la'akum always. You're allowed to tell the goy to bring the baby, bring the knife, etc. And some only make it to tell the goy to do a din rabbanan, shvus to shvus. And that's the way we pass it. In Sifrei, that we treat Mila as no different from any other mitzvah, and just like we allow Shavuot to Shavuot Malka mitzvah in other areas as well, we allow it here as well. So you could tell a guy to carry the bags through a carmelis if necessary. Normally the Moalim do it in advance. They leave it in the house. Most Moalim have three or four kits. So if they have three brisim on Shabbos, they plant it all over the place, walk to one, walk to the next, walk to the other. But if necessary, you could actually have a goy, assuming there's no Rosh Hashanah, Ms. Manasseh, so you could have a shvus to shvus. What about carrying the baby? You carry the baby to the shul, shvus to shvus, and carry the baby back to the shul for the mitzvah. Back, because he needs his mommy, maybe he needs to go home. So the Mishnah Berurah doesn't like that. I think the Magen Avraham holds that way. Why do you got to carry the baby and go back and forth? Bring the knife to the baby, if necessary. And the other poskim do allow it. So the Mishnah Berurah, very considered a heavyweight posek, especially Bizmanenu. So amongst Yeshiva Shoilam, they have home brisim. They don't, when you have a bris on Shabbos, the bris is at home. But there were other poskim who did allow the carrying of the baby through the streets, so I get the impression that some annoyed that way. I had Baruch Hashem with Zochati Machnitz, our son Labris, on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. So my wife's relatives, the Hungarian relatives, and I respected their opinion because they were talking about Minhagi Yisrael that are probably 100, 200, 300 years old. They probably remember what he did in Europe. He said, how can he have it at home? How can he take the baby to the shul? So I was all flustered and said, Takya, how come I didn't? And then I thought of Mishnah Berurah, it says, we don't do it. When I spoke to Rabbi Zimmerman, it was taken for granted that we're going to do it at home. So now I know why. Because that's what Mishnah Berurah says, you don't carry the baby outside the house. Oh, with an Erev, yeah. No, this was an area where there was a questionable Erev. Okay. All right. Let's end off with two final points. We have some miscellaneous points, two major points. Bein Hashmashes babies on Shabbos and the status of the Mukta status of the knife. Okay. I apologize if I was too chorish before. This is another question that most people get wrong on. What? Yeah, yeah. I apologize for this is another case where most people get this wrong on the test, so make sure you know this well. It's complicated halachas, but they're just details. It's not the lamdus is very straightforward. Mila vada is doche Shabbos and it's also doche yamtis, but mila sufik is not doche Shabbos, not doche yamtis. So I thought that Dambris is not Doche Shabbos Yamtis because usually it's Misafik, notwithstanding that Shach with a whole different reading. And the Mila of an Adroganist is not Doche Shabbos, and the Mila of a Yotei Dofen, which is a Machlokis in the Gemara, whether it's on day 1 or day 8, so it's also a Safik Bris on day 8. So Yotei Dofen is important. That's the one that's most Lamaisa. Right, there's a Rav, comes up. First have to, usually the Moyal asks, regular verse, it's not a regular verse, it's not Doche Shabbos. Maybe it should be off the record, but Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach raised the flag that there is a Rabbeinu Chananel, I don't know if he said it in Lamaisa, but there is a Rabbeinu Chananel that who says that an Isha Shenes Abra Be'ambati has a halacha of a Yotzei Dofen for purposes of the Bris on Shabbos, and it's not Doche Shabbos. So most women are not becoming pregnant in an Ambati, but a lot of women nowadays, especially with Baruch Hashem fertility treatments, are becoming pregnant through artificial insemination. So if you put together the Rabbeinu Chananel together with this new version of the Sabra Bambati, meaning not Kedar Chalart, so you can have a day a Das Yochid and shown him that it's not Doche Shabbos. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman raised the flag that maybe we should be choshish for that. Okay.
So what's the reason for it not being Doche Shabbos?
It's because it's not considered Kedar Chalart, and the reason the Yotzei Dofen, something like this, the Yotzei Dofen is not Doche Shabbos because it's not Isha Kisa Zri of Yol Zohar. It's not the regular. She's not Yoledes at the Mokum of the. So somehow I don't see it inside. Somehow Rabbeinu Chananel holds that the Mokum Azra has to be also Kedera Chalaretz or something like that. That if she's inseminated, not Kedera Chalaretz, not the Derech Tashmish. So that's also not the Doche Shabbos. Okay, I got the impression that many poskim were not concerned about that at all, but just mentioning it as a sheet. Okay. So one classic example of suffix is Bein Hashmashes. You have a baby born on Friday going to Shabbos, so you can't do it Friday because it might be Tochazman. You can't do it Shabbos because
it might be
Milas Lobazmana. Thank you. And so you have to push it off till Sunday. Derech Agav, there's an important Pesachei Tshuva earlier which I neglected to mention, and I mention it because it's somewhat upsetting that the Pesachei Tshuva left it that way, because I checked the Sefer Bris and we don't pass in that way. Rav Yaakov Emden, having nothing to do with Shabbos, writes that sometimes, especially with a Mila Shelo Bezmana, he'll be doing it 5:30 in the afternoon. Whatever the reason is, or the Moyel had 15 brisim that day, and the only way to get him is late in the afternoon. Shki is at 6. So no, the Moyel's coming, he's coming, Moyel's not coming. Moyel's coming, okay. He goes through the door at 6:01. So now it's Bein HaShemashis. Not Shabbos. This is the day of the bris, So what do you do? So, if you asked me, I would say, listen, you're playing with fire here. You're talking about a Suffolk Mila Balila, which many Pukim hold is totally possible. So you push it off a day. Ah, but the Moyel traveled 200 miles. You push it off a day. Svek Sveka, maybe it's still Yom. Right, so that's a questionable Svek Sveka. So the Riyakov Emden says, no, better to do it Bein HaShemashes rather than do it Shelo Bezmana, Badai.
See what you have about Bein HaShemashes.
So the Sefer Bris writes, the reason that Rabbi Yaakov Emden is willing to take that risk is because he holds that a mila belayla b'dieved is kosher. Like the Rama, like not the Rama, the way the Beis Yosef said b'das harosh, that the Rosh holds you never need a tefillah and rizim during the night. But la halacha, we hold that a mila belayla is possible. So we certainly would not rely on that Rabbi Yaakov Emden.
You mean like the shock? We hold like the
shock. Yeah. That, and the Sefer Bris verified that question in my mind. The Pesach Chibur just quoted Rabbi Yaakov Emden, and he didn't note that it's premised on his other shita, which we don't follow. Okay, so that's what that would mean in that case. So you tell the Mohel, I'm sorry, but you're late, so come back tomorrow. And if you want your checks, sue me. I'm following Roy Hapoisky. He was talking a shayla like that about someone didn't like the Mohel, so they fired him and threw him in Beis Hanan. Okay. Back to Bein HaShemashis of Shabbos. So if Bein HaShemashis if the baby's born on Friday going into Shabbos, so you push it off till Sunday. Shabbos going to Sunday, that's fairly straightforward, push it till Sunday. Bein HaShemashis going into Yom Tov, so if you're in Eretz Yisrael, it's usually easier. So it's not Docha Yom Tov. Let's say Yom Tov is on Tuesday, and the baby was born Monday, between Monday and Tuesday. So you can't do it Monday, can't do it Tuesday, so you go to Wednesday. Let's say it's Mechutz L'Aretz, but it's a lively Shaila. Chutz L'Aretz, so the second day is Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos. So maybe for that in the Rabbanan, we're not going to push off Mila by a day. So that depends on two readings of the Mishnah in Perek Les Demila. The Mishnah Perek Les Demila says that we will not do a Mila on day one of Rosh Hashanah if it's a Suffolk Bein HaShemashis baby, and we will not do Mila on day two either in that kind of case. Let's give a scenario. Wednesday and Thursday Bein HaShemashis the previous week. Rosh Hashanah is Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. Says the Mishnah in Perek Les Demila, you don't do it Thursday, you don't do it Friday, you don't do it Shabbos. So that's a hechatim, so where baby will be nimol Yud Aleph, is it, or Yud Beis? Counting from Wednesday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, right. So 12. Good. So I don't know, Rov, the Rush holds, how come they said Rosh Hashanah? Because the Mishnah was written there in Eretz Yisrael. But if you're in Bavel, so it's the same thing for Sukkot, Pesach, and the Shavuos. And the Rambam says, no, Rosh Hashanah is Dafka, because Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaRichta, and it has all sorts of Chumras of its second day. And there's another Chumra the second day, but a regular Yom Tov Sheni, so let's phrase it well here, because this is where the confusion comes up. Amila Shelo Bismana is Doche Yom Tov Sheni. That's the Pesach of the Rambam. Would the Rambam say the same thing concerning, let's say, if Yom Tov Sheni was the end of a seven-day waiting period for a baby who was chola kol gufo, and the doctors gave a green light exactly a week earlier? Probably the same, because I think the Rambam Shita, it's not so much because they're pushing. Mila shelo bezmana, the Rambam holds, is doche yom tov sheni. He's not talking about that case, I know, but for now it would sound like the same thing. The Mechaber rules like the Rosh, that Mila shelo bezmana is not doche yom tov sheni, but the Shach wants to paskin like the Rosh. So, the Shach wants to pass like the Rambam, I'm sorry. The Shach was prepared to be maker like the Rambam, that Mila Shelo Bezmana is Docha Yom Tov Sheni. Okay, that might be part of the Cheshbon, but La Halacha, that the Shach accepts the Rambam. La Halacha, although there are probably those who do follow the Shach, but the Piskei Tshuva quotes in Nod B'Yud and Sam Sofer, and the Piskei Tshuvas and Or Chaim Simchin Lamed Aleph quotes a whole Chevel poskim that says absolutely we do not follow the Shach. Amila Shelo Bezmana is not Doche Yom Tov Sheni either. But, and here's where the fireworks come. If you have a Mila that's Suffolk Bezmana, and part of that Suffolk is Yom Tov Sheni, so then the Nod B'Yud and the Chassam Sofer, as quoted by the Piskei Tshuva here, four different svaras, which you won't go into now. They each have their own svaras, why they hold like this. One is a Sfek Feka, and one is a Suffolk Mitzvah, Doche Suffolk Yom Tov.
Who's the other one?
No, Sam Sofer, and the Piskei Tshuvas, and Chelek Or HaChaim, that the Brown Sefer, Al Seder, and Mishnah Berurah, quotes a whole chevel of other poskim hold this way, that a Mila that Suffolk Bezmana will be Doche Yom Tov Sheni. I'll give you the case. So whereas if a baby is born between Friday and Shabbos, you will not do that Mila on Shabbos. That's Suffolk Bezmana. But if a baby is born between Tuesday and Wednesday, Bein HaShemashis, and the next week is Yom Tov, Tuesday, Wednesday, so you could do the bris on Wednesday, because that's a Suffolk day 7, it's a Suffolk day 8, Suffolk day 9, so the bris is certainly kosher, and you have at least two sfeikas here, that's the language of Nod B'Yehuda, to get you to do it then because of the Bein HaShemashis together with the Machlokis, with the Suffolk of Yom Tov itself. And Chazam Sofer has the Suffolk Mitzvah Docha Suffolk Avera. I'm sorry? That for sure not. That for sure not. Because there, you know, the whole lundus collapses. There's no Sfek Sveika, and there's also no Suffolk Mitzvah Docha Suffolk Avera. Again, I don't want to elaborate on those. You have to see the Pitzchi Jew inside. But you never do the Yom Tov Rishon unless it's a Vaday Day.
That was that wrapping time for the Mishnah anyway. The Mishnah says you only for Shabbos and 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. You want to say why?
The Mishnah was talking about where the baby was born, Wednesday going into Thursday, and the next week is Rosh Hashanah, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. Or, okay, let's stick to that. So there, the second day of Rosh Hashanah is Mila Vaday Shalob Ismana. That's Suffolk 9, Suffolk 10, the second day of Rosh Hashanah. If you wanted to give this example here, you'd have to give an example of the baby born between Thursday and Friday night. Okay?
The mashmas is that the first day of Yom Tov is the same for everything.
That's right.
Only the second day of Rosh Hashanah you want to be cold.
Okay, there's the machlokis, right? So just be kitzur. The second day of Rosh Hashanah is machlokis Rambam, and everyone holds that you cannot be docha the second day of Rosh Hashanah for a milah shelo bezmana. What about the second day of Pesach Shavuot Sukkis? Rambam holds yes, and the Rosh holds no. What about if we're dealing with a suffik milah bezmana on Yom Tov Sheni? So the many poskim will hold yes. Now, what about a suffik Yom Tov Sheni shal Rosh Hashanah? I'm not clear about. It would appear to me that that should be totally in the machlokes in the note of you and the Chassam Sofer as to what the reason is. Is it Suffolk Mitzvah, Dof? No. Even that, maybe not. No. No, the Mishnah is not talking about a Suffolk Mila B'Zman on Rosh Hashanah. It's talking about a Vare Mila Shalom B'Zman on Yom Tov Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah. I don't know. I leave that as an open question. Whether Mila that on the second day of Rosh Hashanah that Suffolk Bizmana, whether it's Docha, because the problem is because it's not a Suffolk, because Midr Rabbanah we declared as a Vaday. Okay.
Yeah, but we learned about divorce Mace. We don't have Rosh Hashanah, they're
Makul. Yeah, but Lagabi Mace, they're Makul. I don't know if they're Makul for Mila. I don't know. Okay, so that's one of the more complex, the topic clearly. I hope I did a good job. So that's, but for review, Reish Samachlov, Sivches, with the Shach there, and as well as the Pisichilu. Okay, we already discussed the fifth test about Bein HaShemashis, and the Shach who speaks about the Gra and the Rabbeinu Tam LaHalacha, whether you have to be Machmer for Rabbeinu Tam in terms of the issue of Bein HaShemashis, it depends whether you're Machmer in general for Rabbeinu Tam. If you're not, even for Shabbos, so then it's not in your orbit, so you just ignore Rabbeinu Tam. If you are, so then for purposes of these issues, it would also be relevant.
That last time, yeah.
Right, so that's, I'm not going to review that now. Yes?
Someone wasn't sure whether hospitals mark down what they mark down as the time of birth.
I mean, it could be a
TS
Kala Rosh.
Right.
Okay.
TS Kala Gof.
Kala Gof. So thank you very much. Sometimes in Afkamin, I think we might have briefly mentioned that last time, that halakhically we define birth as Yitzias Rov HaRosh, and that seems to be defined as the Yitzias HaPadachas, just the forehead. And then there's a Machlokas HaPoskim, whether it's the whole forehead or Rov HaPadachas. So we have births pretty early in the birth process. Sometimes after the Rosh is out, before the body gives another push, it could be another 20 minutes, it could be another 30 minutes. So what was just mentioned by Rabbi Pearl is that Rabbi Tandler mentioned that in the hospitals it could be they mark down as time of birth the Yitzias Kol HaGuf. So if you have anything on the border zone, let's say Tzeis HaKochavim is 7 p.m. and the time of birth is 7:01. So the issue was raised that you have to determine what was the time of birth 7:01. Was that the Yitzias Kol HaGuf, or was that the Yitzias HaRosh? Because if it's the Kol HaGuf, then the Rosh probably came out Bein HaShemashis, in which case do the birth on Sunday. So, Shkoyach. But other than, if you know for sure when the Rosh was, then just note that time. Okay, the issue briefly of the Mukta status of the knife. There are three shittas on this. The knife is a muksa machzi sar and kiss. Normally speaking, the zemel shel mila, you don't use it to cut challah. So the Maharil and the Gra wants to pass. What? It's a muksa machzi sar and kiss. You don't use it for cutting challah. You don't. You won't. The Maharil won't let you. It's like a shchita knife. So the Gra and the Ma'aril say, okay, listen, Milas Lecha Shabbos in worse ways. So of course you can carry them, you can not carry in the street. You could move the Mila knife to do the Mila. What about after the Mila is done? So the Ma'aril and the Gra say, to put it down. You know, throw it down. It kind of hurt somebody. You put it down on the table and leave it there till later. Presumably, I assume the same laws of Muktzah that says that anything that's going to cause hezek, if you have thorns on the floor, shards of glass, you're allowed to move that, even be a dime if necessary. So presumably, you put it down on the table, and if there are no children around, there are children around, probably the regular laws of Muktzah allow you to put it somewhere else. But all things being equal, there are no children around that are going to get to that knife, you put it down on the table. Okay. So there are two other shittos. The Ramah, based on what was just mentioned, Ein Muktzah L'Chatziyom, sorry, Perlstein mentioned, Ein Muktzah L'Chatziyom, that the beginning of the day, I was designated to be used in a mutter fashion. So the fact that after the meal is up, so now I can no longer use it, so Ein Muktzah L'Chatziyom, we only say Migdis Katzoy Bein Hashmashes, and here we don't say it. Because it became Iskatsoi after the Mila, so it remains Heter. So that's the way the Ramah paskins, and therefore he allows the oil, even after he put it down, to hide it wherever he wants, as long as he's not carrying outside of the Eruv. The reason why that's questionable, pointed out by the Taz and the Gra, is that this didn't become not Muktzah. It was always Muktzah. It was Muktzah at the beginning, it was Muktzah in the middle, it was Muktzah at the end. The moral is allowed to move Muktzah to do the Mila, because that's what he has to do. But it never became un-Muktzah. It's not the same as designating dirt to be used to cover Dam on Yom Tif, or to clean up garbage on the ground, etc. It always remained Muktzah. Now what exactly is the Nakuda?
Yeah.
Can you demuktify a Muktzah Machasar and Kis? I don't know. If someone has the lumdus in this, please share with me. But that's the basic Nakuda. Has the Mila, has the Moil demuktified it by designating it to do Mila on Shabbos? Or has he not succeeded in demuktifying it? It's just an override of Muktzah.
His mind is on it. That's what I can understand.
But the Gra apparent in the Taz hold that you could take totally Eitzim Vavonim and make it useful by designating it something. But you can't take a Muktzah Machmas Chitaron Kis, which you are using in its Muktzah Machmas Chitaron Kis way, namely Mila, and you can't make it into a challah knife. It's still a Muktzah Machmas Chitaron Kis knife. That's what it was. That's what it is. That's what you take dirt, which is normally junk, and you designate it to clean up dirt. So now it's a cleaner upper. It's not dirt anymore, right? But the Mila knife is always a Mila knife.
I was only limited to the Muktzah Machmas Chitaron Kis. What about the Lishma Lachlis?
Well, there has the rules of Tzarakul v'Makomo. That Muktzah Chitaron Kis can't move at all. That's why it's more deadly here. The Taz is a Pshara Shita. That Meikar Adin, the Gra's right. But since we find the notion of Itiru Sofam Shimski Loso, and if you're going to force the Moro to leave his knife around, he's going to be afraid of damage, so he's going to be very hesitant to do Brisim on Shabbos. So we allow him to hide it in that room. In other words, the minimum that's not somewhere else, another house, you allow him to hide it in that room, the minimum necessary, Itiru Sofam Shimski Loso. The Gra's not happy about the Taz, because Itiru Sofam Shimski Loso is not a global heter. The Gemara has certain examples where we allowed it, not always. Also, the Atzala issue comes up in terms of broadening the heter with Tiru Sofam Shiloso. But that is the Shita Sataz. And Halacha Lamaisa, and Simin Shin Lamed, not Shin Lamed Aleph, Shin Zayin, I know Shin Yud, Sifkat and Tesvav, the Mishnah Bura quotes that the Magen Avraham also held like the Taz, Meikar Adin, that namely what? That you really should be Muktzah, and you really shouldn't rely on the Ramah to put it wherever you want. He's pretty silent on whether you could hide it in that room or not. I didn't really get an impression from the Mishra one way or the other. So I just wanted to mention the following, that the Magen Avraham throws in an extra angle over here. Without getting involved in all the details, the Magen Avraham has a shita that whenever you're holding Muktzah, by mistake or on purpose, you could put it down wherever you want to, once it's in your hand. He does not distinguish between whether you Begat b'shoigeg, b'mezid, or different types of muktzah. Even if you have a muktzah machzik saran kis in your hand by mistake you have your palm pilot. Oyvei, it's Shabbos. I didn't realize it was a palm pilot. I thought it was a pocket Mishnah Bura. So once it's in your hand, the Magen Avraham says you can put it down wherever you want. The Gra argues on that Magen Avraham, and he says no. The only time we allow you to put it down wherever you want is if you are metalpul b'heter. Like you picked up a hammer to clear the table, so once it's in your hand, you put it wherever you want. But if you have metalpul b'iser, even b'shoigeg, so you got to put it down right away. That's what a Gra says. You got to put down the Mila knife right away. But the Magen Avraham says you could apply that here. He holds the shita. So once it's in his hand, he could put it down wherever he wants. And then the Mishnah, I'm sorry?
Didn't he pick it up and enter?
Yeah, but according to the Gra and the Taz, the second it's over, now it becomes Usher. It's not like let's put it this way. No, it was always Usher, except at the time of the Mila, he had an override. Once the Mila's over, so Vayitzei is Muktzah. A hammer was never Muktzah. A hammer is Kli Shemlach L'Isser, so it has an Isser Tilpul, and one of the Teirim is that you're allowed to move it, L'Sarach Makomo. So that's not the same as the Muktzah Sarkis. And so the Mishnah quotes the Eliyahu Rabbah that he could also hand it off. When the Moral's done, he can give it to his assistant or whatever, and the assistant will put it somewhere else. That's a twist in the Magen Avraham. And then the Chassidish Moral that I told you about with all of the excitement earlier. So he had a twist on that. He used to keep the Mila knife, Rabbi Tendler alluded to this also, on a chain. So after the Mila was done, it would fall back on his clothes. So it was. I asked him about it afterward. How come you had it on a chain? So he said, it's a shtikl habachina biyado. Right? Now, on this Magen Avraham, it's not in his hand, but it's still he's wearing it. So that's like still on him. So he should be able to move it wherever he wants, al derech the Magen Avraham. I hadn't seen that in another poskim, but that's what a Maisa Rav from a noted Moel, that's what he did. And then they quote from Vicky Vager that you could use the double trick. You take a plate, and you put on top of the plate a challah, and a sitter or something, and then you put the meal knife on the plate, so now you have a basis, a davar ha'asr, a davar ha'mutter, that you're allowed to move. Normally we recommend tilting, but here, if you tilt, you're going to break the knife, so you can move it together. These are the eitzes and the different shittas on muktzah. The shittas are gro, you got to throw it down, the ma'aril quoted by the Taz, and the Taz himself who allows Abshara to hide it in the same room, Tijut of Shitlaso, and the Ramah who allows you to hide it anywhere because he holds that you demuxified it, if you will, as a result of Hachana on Erev Shabbos. And okay, so that's the end of that of that discussion. The Rabbi Tendler discussed the fact that Bisman has 8 month babies are the same as any other baby. It depends on the viability of the child. Mishtanu Atzvayim in this regard, so it's not really so relevant anymore. Tzitzit Aleph. Just two other brief aris. A mila of a baby is docha Shabbos only if the baby was Jewish from birth. How do you get Jewish from birth? So either two Jewish parents, mother Jewish parent, or of course parents who started out not Jewish but became a Gioris Tzedek while she was pregnant. We call her Rosso Shalom B'Kdusha L'Dosso B'Kdusha. So that child is also, as the Pesach Yeshiva points out, is also called Jewish from birth. Not so pashit. When we get to Elchus Geiris, we'll see it's not so pashit, because it could be when we do the meal on him, it's a meal of Geiris, not a meal of Yadus. But that's the way the Pesach Yeshiva quotes here. I don't know if any others disagree. Oh. Sorry?
It's a girl.
Is that relevant to that? I thought that might be that a different issue about miyuchas. No. Okay. Let's leave that at a different time.
Because the mother converted while pregnant.
Also good. The Pesach Yeshiva, right? Pesach, that's also called Jewish from birth.
It is called
Jewish birth. I just pointed out it's not so pashas, but that's the Pesach Yeshiva passing from the Teferis Lamoshe, I think. What? Say it again. Leida Bekedusha is enough, right? Leida Bekedusha. So if the father is Jewish, of course, and the mother is not, even if you convert the child, so that meal is not Tocha Shabbos. What if the parents are not religious? So Jewish is Jewish. Shrol Avshachata Yisrael. So here it is, this curious language of the tour, which the Mechaber mimics here, which leads to these fireworks in the Taz Meshach. The tour quotes from the Rishonim, in the name of Bala Itur, that a Yisrael who became a mummer, right? He adopted whatever, let's say, the Christian religion, and he had a child from a frum Jewish. So Yamala knows of Shabbos. And the language is, because after all, the mother's Jewish, so even though the father has a lot of dominance over the child, but probably the mother will have Ashpa on him too, and he might turn out okay. And what if they're both not religious? And what if they're both Christians? But they're still interested in having the meal, they're still Jewish. So the Beis Yosef says, yeah, same thing. Jewish is Jewish. Taz and the Shach say, no. The Torah meant what he said. He meant that if the child is born to two, let's speak about the simple cases, to two apikorsim, gemurim, bemezid, etc., So then the Megillah is not Zochus Shabbos. Why not? So I searched a little in the Sefer Bris. I don't know why not. The most I came up with is that Bris is not just a Maisa Mitzvah, it's also a Achnasa L'Bris, meaning that the person is entering Klal Yisrael. So if the person is totally probably going to be Poresh based on the parentage, so maybe it's not Zochus Shabbos. Okay, so L'Halacha, we don't accept the Taz and the Shach. Probably for two reasons. First of all, because the Beis Yosef falls not that way, and also B'zman Hazeh, this notion of apikorsis b'mezid has been much discussed by the poskim, that it's very, very uncommon. And as the Shach already mentions, that the Karoyim, who are not such frum Karoyim, the just minigav saying b'yadeyim, and the Mechabed Torah to some extent, so this we would be Docha Shabbos for. So either for that reason or the reason that we just don't paskin like the Shach and Tazi paskin the Beis Yosef, it's Nahug, it's the Piskei Tshuvos in Simin Shin Lamed Aleph, right, that we always do meal on Shabbos, even in a case where you have two non-religious parents.
Ironically, I don't know if the Karoyim would be Docha for himself.
All right. Okay, I don't know. The last Nakuda, which is something that we don't follow, is the Machloikis between the Taz in Simen, Reish, Samach, Beis, Sifkatan, Gimel, and the Shach in Simen, Reish, Samach, Vav, Sifkatan, Yudchet, at the very end, as to whether or not Emil Shalob is Mana, Nanda with Shabbos, is Doche Yom Hei. How does it go? As follows, that Yom Hei is 3 days before Shabbos. And the Gemara points out that if you mal a baby on Yom Hei, so first he's going to have Tsar on Yom Shlishi, and he's going to have a possibility of having to mechal Shabbos from on Yom Shlishi, because he might be besakana then. That's the language of the Mishnah. So the Taz writes from the Tashbeit, quoted by the Beis Yosef, in Simen. Yeah, that if the baby is now ripe to be mal on Thursday, don't do it Thursday, because since it's already Shalom Bezmana, you don't want to cause the baby tzar on Shabbos, and you certainly don't want to put yourself in a situation of chil Shabbos.
Well, that depends on the whole of the Almana.
Okay, probably right. But yeah, it could be right. The Rabbana Kal V'Chaimer wouldn't be choshish for that, but maybe you'll be worried about the tzar. I don't know. That's the other reason about Flog of Esfina, the fact you get seasick. It's a very parallel issue. So La Halacha, the Shach utterly rejects that whole chumrah of the Taz, and he says you could do it on hay, and he proves that it has to be that way, with a whole complicated proof that I don't want to take up your time with now, but if you want, you can see the Shach inside. La Halacha, the Mishnah Brura, at the very end of Simen Shin Lamed Aleph, quotes the Taz, L'chumra, but he writes, Aval, HaShach, Ushar Potki Mekilu. So it seems like La Halacha, we have rejected the Sheet of the Taz, and Amila Shalob Uzmana should be done as soon as halachically it's permissible, even if that day happens to be Thursday or Friday, but not on Shabbos. If you have to push it until Shabbos, you're ready to push it off to the
Thursday.
Okay.